Your Juno Afternoon is made possible with support from Sentinel Coffee, serving Southeast with locally roasted organic coffee and door-to-door delivery. More at sentinelcoffee.com. I'm your host, Shelley Delaney, and my next guests are Brenda Wright and Winston Smith, representing the Juno Audubon Society. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're here to talk about an upcoming presentation about the Queen Charlotte Goshawk. But before we get to that, I wanted to focus on some local bird news, just from my own, a couple questions that are a couple of things I've noted in the last couple weeks that I wanted to ask you about while I have you here.
Great.
Have either of you seen that, is it leucistic stellar jay that's been visiting Juno?
I've seen several different jays in pictures, but different species of birds can also actually have that same problem. I saw a robin one time that had a polka-dotted head.
Ooh, wow. Did it still have the red tummy?
It did, but it was strange in other ways.
How about you, Winston? Have you seen that one around?
We saw one on a walk around the backside of Auk Lake on that trail. I think it was two springs ago. Not this past spring, but the year before that. It looked like, it was a little divergent color of a stellar's jay.
Yeah, it was more white. All the parts that were black were white.
Yeah, it had a lot of white.
And it still had the blue feathers, too. It was crazy looking.
Mm-hmm. On first observation, I was shocked because I thought, oh, my God, it's a blue jay, just a regular blue jay from the east. And then I fortunately had my binoculars with me because I usually carry them with me when I go on the trail. I got a better look, and then I could tell from other features that it was really a stellar's jay, but yeah.
That thing is so wild looking. There's pictures online if people are interested.
Yeah.
So that's one unusual bird that's been around town, spotted. And then on a personal note, I saw a pair of varied thrush in the park by my house downtown one evening this week. Never seen them there before or since. And I wanted to ask you both, what were they up to, in your opinion?
You know what? There's a lot of mountain ash trees all around downtown. It's a favorite food of robins and thrushes and varied thrushes to chow down big time before they head south. They're going to use a lot of energy to fly all that way.
Wow, cool. That answers it, because there is for sure at least one mountain ash tree in that park. They're a really interesting looking bird. I don't think I'd ever seen one before. I didn't know what it was. I had to look it up. Nice, bright orangey yellow feathers on both of them.
It's nice to have them around, but we so seldom get a clear look at them. They love the tops of trees, and they don't like to show off very much like the jays would for us.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I learned something this week about those birds. Okay, so speaking of uncommon birds or rarely seen birds, you are going to give a presentation. You, Winston, are going to give a presentation about the Queen Charlotte Goshawk. Can you say more about them?
Sure. The Queen Charlotte Goshawk is what we consider a regional endemic. A regional endemic is a subspecies or a species that's unique to just that region. It's a subspecies of the northern goshawk that occurs basically in southeast Alaska, coastal British Columbia, and historically it also occurred in western Washington. It is of interest to me because it actually became a part of the work that I did when I worked with the lab, the Pacific Northwest Research Lab, Forest Service Lab here in Juneau, looking at questions related to its viability and the Tongass Land Management Plan. It has very specific habitat requirements that can be influenced by activities on the forest. And so I was brought to Juno as a Forest Service scientist with a specialty in wildlife viability. And so that was one of the species that I targeted in my analysis. And so my talk is going to sort of summarize that analysis in a publication that came out a few years ago, as well as update some most recent information about the genetics and the uniqueness of the individuals that occur on Haida Gwaii, on Queen Charlotte Islands, and the implications that might have for viability of the subspecies.
Where are these islands?
Queen Charlotte Islands are, as they're known by the native people, Haida Gwaii, is just south of Dixon Entrance off the coast of British Columbia, due south of Prince of Wales Island, the southern part of southeast Alaska.
Not too far?
Say again?
Not too far from here, then?
No, not very far at all.
All right. So on our website, KTOO.org/JunoAfternoon, we have a link to the event page for your talk. And I'm looking at a picture of the goshawk right now. It's really interesting looking. It looks like it's wearing striped pajamas underneath its wings.
Yes.
So very distinct markings. Have you ever seen one in person?
Oh, I have. I've been fortunate. I spent a lot of time out in the field doing other research. And so it's a bird that you have to be quiet and still sometimes to see up close. You see them flying high more often than not, but they forage underneath the canopy. They're very quiet. They sit and they wait until they see prey, and then they sort of glide through the forest real quietly and to get their prey. And so if you're going to see them doing that, you have to sit quietly and just watch and hope that, you know, you might run on an opportunity to see one. Now, just to be clear, the Queen Charlotte goshawk, it's the subspecies range includes Juno all the way down.
Yeah, if you could see them here.
So that whole subspecies occurs from around Cordova or just south of there all the way down to western Washington.
Have you ever seen one, Brenda?
I have, and it was in Juno. And I was so pleased, I almost fell off the West Glacier Trail.
I'm glad you didn't. Yeah. I'm glad you got to see your goshawk. That must have been very exciting.
Oh, it was very much. And I'm pleased to say that they do still live here in Juno, so it's not impossible to get to see one.
So when and where is the talk?
It's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. at UAS Egan Lecture Room, room 112. And it'll start pretty close to 7 o'clock, and we'll have Winston's great presentation.
And Winston, you've got some photos to go along with your talk.
I do. Right? I have some photos of birds, and as well as some other slides to describe the study and some of the new information that I have about goshawks. Yeah.
Is there any place in particular here in Juneau where we might go if we want to see one? I guess the West Glacier Trail is one place. We just need to get into the under the canopy.
Well, in the winter they move. Sometimes they migrate locally. But in their breeding season, any forested habitat, older forest habitat. I don't know if you've ever heard this, but there was actually a problem on Douglas one time with a nesting pair right at the trailhead over near Douglas, where people were actually getting attacked by, because they can be pretty aggressive during the nesting season. So anytime you're in the forest, in older forest, old growth forest in particular, you'll have the opportunity maybe to encounter one because that's where they are.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd want to be attacked by one, but that's one way to see it, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks so much. And to find out more about the goshawks and to see some really cool pictures, check out Winston's talk tomorrow night, 7 p.m., UAS Egan Library. And there's one other thing I wanted to ask you guys about since you're the experts, which is a story in Bird News. There's an NPR story recently about how North America has lost about 30% of its breeding population of birds over the last half century. And it was a pretty sad story. They said about 3 billion birds, they estimate, are gone. I was just wondering, what does the Audubon Society make of that? And how do we see that? Do we see the effects of this loss here in Southeast?
I'm really, really glad you asked that question because it is a very pressing problem. And there's things that we can do as individuals to actually help this problem. There's several things. There's seven main things that are really affecting our birds here, because not all birds stay all winter. They go to different habitats in different countries. But the things we can do here, the seven big things that are creating this loss is habitat loss. And one of the things we can do as individuals is actually reduce our lawn space and plant more native plants.
Okay.
And there are pesticides being used in many places for a farm, and we'd like those to be restricted. I know a lot of folks have heard of the Silent Spring, and it was written about birds dying from DDT. Well, we've gotten much more modern than that, and we have a lot of pesticides that, if they were managed a little bit more strictly, would not be affecting our birds. And there is a shopper's guide. You can find out the kinds that are best for your garden on the American Bird Conservancy webpage. Well, climate change is also something that's happening, and there's things that we can do to try and plant more trees individually. But that's something that we should all think about as globally. But there's a thing that we can do something about very at home, and that's about cats and other invasive species.
I wondered if cats were part of the problem.
Yes, cats are definitely part of the problem. They think there's over over 100 million wild or feral cats. And all cats, even well-fed cats, when they're outside, will prey on birds. It's part of their natural lifestyle. So cats should stay indoors as much as possible. One thing that we can also do something about quite personally is collisions with windows. Mm. This happens both day and night. And one of the things that's simplest to do at night is just close your shades because that will keep the birds from being attracted or hitting the glass then. But there are many different kinds of decals and different things that you can do to your windows during the day that will help deter bird strikes on your own personal windows. One of the very cheapest ways is to use an old CD and just hang it in your window. Birds see in different wavelengths than we do, and so that sparkle will definitely tell them that it's not a space to fly through. Another thing is to not drink coffee that's not kind to birds.
Coffee
is a very, very popular thing throughout the world. And there are many kinds of coffee that you can get that are kinder to birds. They're not a single crop, and they don't use things that would harm the birds or keep them from being able to live there. And we can try and protect our planet from plastic by trying to use less single-use plastic. Birds that eat plastic usually fill up their crop in their stomach and just die of starvation. And one of the things that's very important to do that's really fun, and you can do it with Juno Audubon all year round, is watch birds and share what you see. And when you're doing that, you're helping the scientists understand which birds are in trouble and which birds are doing well and things that we can do to make them better for the birds. So.
Thank you, Brenda. Well, I'm really glad you talked about that, and I hope we can talk about that some more next time you're on.
Thank you, Shelley.
In the meantime, again, Winston Smith's talk on the Queen Charlotte Goshawk is tomorrow, 7 p.m. UAS, Egan Library. Winston, Brenda, thanks so much for being here today.
My
Thank
pleasure.
You for letting us.
Yes.